Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding, and president of From the Heart Productions. Our guest, Victor Warren, wears many hats. He's an actor, director, writer, and producer, not to mention fight choreographer and father. He's won several first-prize screenwriting awards and film awards, and has gained recognition for his fight directing in Los Angeles. Victor is a graduate of Carnegie Mellon University, where he majored in acting and directing, and he also recently won the first prize pitch award for his film Disembodied Voices. And Carol, I understand that Victor is the winner of the Corky Kessler Financing Seminar Pitch Grant.
Yes. It was a brilliant day, and he. This is what we want to do, is find out more about his pitch and how he created it, because that was a tough panel. And Victor, congratulations on winning.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It was very exciting, and it was a great experience. Corky Kessler, who put it together, who's actually also my entertainment lawyer, put it together a great panel. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Well, tell us about your company, Gladyscope.
Because I, from my introduction, it was like, oh, my God, I do all those things? Really? since I do all those things, actually my girlfriend at the time, or right now, comes from a DEA background, and when I met her, I was doing a play and directing a play, and she looked at all my stuff, and she said, wow, you've been really tactical in your career, and as an artist, you kind of like, you grab this job, you grab that job, you grab this, you write this, but she said, you've never been strategic, and it kind of really changed my whole outlook on how I was approaching my career. So in 2 years now, I've kind of created my company, Gladyscope, so everything I do focuses into one hat, into one location, into the company. So so I created the company 2 years ago, full business plan, executive summary, I was slated 4 films, and all of that work. And I have... created the website and created different pieces to those 4 projects, and actually Disembodied Voices is one of those projects in the slate.
Well, tell us, how are you finding the financial support for Gladyscope and your Disembodied Voices film?
Well, there's a thing called credit cards. it's interesting. I mean, I think there's the two avenues to go are, obviously, as from a business standpoint, is angel investors or venture capitalists, which is, from a business standpoint, nurturing those relationships and finding those business entities. I guess a big key is, one is networking, especially not necessarily inside the industry. My ex-wife's best friend, her husband, a really wonderful, smart business gentleman, I mentioned I was in this company, and we kind of found each other through Facebook, and I did a I had done an Indiegogo campaign on one of my other projects, and he reached out, and we started having conversation. Eventually, he flew to L.A., and I did a couple meetings with people that he knew in terms of venture capitalist individuals, and I brought him to a couple producer meetings to give him a feel also of what that world is like. And consequently, through all this other myriad of other people, I had a finance call for another project like 3 weeks ago, where we pitched a project to a group of investors who were not film people at all. And it went over pretty well. And so I'm just seeing, I'm still kind of nurturing that and figuring out that way.
Well, this is what a lot of good producers say. Get out of Dodge. Don't look for the money in Hollywood or New York, right? You found that to be valuable, right?
Well, I mean, I think the people, there's a lot of cynicism in Hollywood. And, I mean, I'm very positive about my projects and why I want to do them. The whole company itself is, all my projects will reflect the core of the human condition and through storytelling. And so sorry, I went off on a tangent. What was your financial Hollywood? Bring me back.
Well, okay, well, so you're doing well by looking through people outside of the industry, and the most important thing that you're saying, Jim, that I'm hearing, is that you are fostering relationships and you are bringing people into our industry to teach them what it is and how it works so that they feel comfortable and safe before you probably make a hard ask for the money. I think it's really important that people, that you create the trust and the respect first, and so they know everything about it. And then when you do ask them, they're ready to invest, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination. I think as the pitch, I think because I do also come from an acting background, directing background, I knew myself in a room, and in terms of all business, any kind of business, if you can come face to face with the person, and they get a sense of really who you are. What's the number? I think the number is you have to meet someone 7 to 10 times before they really know who you are, something like that. But you can jump cut that by creating an actual face-to-face physical contact. And I think that is really important. The thing about approaching people who have never been in the business, in the film industry, is with all of the things, it's you have to lay it on the table. There's a very strong probability this will not make money. You're not going to make money. If you want to go into this movie making money, don't do it. If you have a passion about this story and you can deal with some loss because your finances are in such a state that it's not really going to kill you, then you care about the project and you maybe take the other things of the state, the state incentives of the give backs at the end of the year on the state incentives on a project, or the 181, which I don't know if you've talked to your people about that, which is also another way to, the 181 is a federal, it was actually Corky, my lawyer, was the one that talked to, I think, the federal government originally to help even start it, and I think that was 2004. And basically it was an initiative to get, to support film and television in the United States. And it gives people, investors, 100% write-off of their investment up to $15 million per project, possibly $20 million per project. So if they want a passive write-off for that year, they can invest in your movie and you take the money they invested in your film and put it into a passive write-off for one of their companies or their businesses. So there are some business ways to approach it too.
Right. Well, yes, Corky is one of the best teachers on the 181, and he did spend a lot of time getting it reinstated because we thought we had lost it, but he got it back. But he thinks probably it will not be reinstated at the end of 2013. So Corky's now giving another seminar. He'll be teaching November the 9th in Santa Monica. Anyone who's interested can email me. That'll be another pitch day where they win an award from the panel. And the whole concept is film funding, and you get to pitch your project. And if you win, you got about $200,000 in discounted services. But Corky is afraid that it won't go forward. So he will outline for everyone how you can grandfather your film into the 181 for future years. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, I mean, I think the funny thing about Corky, when I met him through, actually, I was involved in a play production, and through some of the people there, they knew Corky, and I had already developed my whole business plan, and part of my business strategy for my company was three of my movies in my slate of four, I already created a 181 for them. I found out about it, when it went away, that year, it went away for a year and then came back this last year. But everybody was scrambling to create those grandfathers for the 181. And it was funny, when I first met Corky, I went, oh, I did that. You're that guy?
Right. Well, it's wonderful to have someone that carries all that knowledge. And when he gets involved with the client, he really does take good care of them. But one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, he is your attorney now. Has he done the PPM for your films or a general PPM for Gladyscope?
No. What I did was, because I had created the executive summary and the full, it's like a 50-page document on the plan, and it's as long as I have, because I'm doing films, I have a lot of comparable films, you know, four films worth of comparables and possible medium, low, high averages of what you could possibly make. So the document itself is a little thick for a business plan. But Corky, when I originally retained him, he went through my plan and executive summary and had some notes. And I haven't gotten to the point where someone goes, yes, I want to invest now. And when I do that, then I'm going to have to approach him and create that document and do that. But I'm still trying to nurture and find those people, you know, just to keep the company lights going still, too.
Right. I understand. Well, tell us more about your pitch. What did you do to prepare for this pitch seminar?
To give a clean background of what exactly the pitch session for filmmakers, financing your film, avoiding pitfalls from development to distribution conference is, which is happening again November 9th, is there was a panel of about 12 people. There was Louise Levison, president of Business Strategies. There was Tamara Cohen and Jill Cohen. They're both with Cohen Distribution. There was Ronnie Yeskel, the casting director. There was David McDonald, Sandy Holmes, and Donna Freed from Phase 2. They're a marketing firm. John Corser, a line producer. And then there was a producer named Tony Eldridge, who's currently working on the new Denzel Washington film, The Equalizer. So they were on the panel, and we had it was divided into two sections. They broke it out into, you would pitch for 5 minutes. You were pitching your thing to five people, and then if you made it to the second level, you pitch all 12 of them. And what I did to prepare was I pitched before, like TV stuff, and you know, and it. But I wanted to. I went online actually, and found YouTube videos of famous writers saying, this is how you pitch and this is what you do. And so I kind of went through that, crystallized 3 minutes, and then what was great actually for this, I don't know if they'll be doing this again November 9th, but before we did our first pitch session, the people at Phase 2, which was, Sandy Holmes and Donna Freed, you were able to kind of pre-pitch them. So, and they gave you a couple notes on what you're about to do. And coming from an acting background or a directing background, you know, when someone gives you a note, and it's clean and clear, you can really run with it. And the best thing she said to me, because I was really worried about the time, I was really worried about getting it all in 3 minutes. And she said, no, don't think about the time. And it kind of freed me up to dance a little inside my story. And then she also said, start with the log line. I had this other beginning, which was like how I found the material, and which I think is really interesting, how I found the material and what attracted me to it, which on several other pitch things I'd read about, they say that's a really enticing way to involve people before you pitch. But she said, just start with the log line, which is, for mine, disembodied voices, is a young woman's conflict between her love of a man and her devotion to God through her music. And
I agree, because I get pitched so much. I will say, Victor, that I don't want to know how all this synchronicity and these wonderful things that happen. It's all about the story. So I think that was a very important thing. So your log line is excellent. So you pitched the heart of the film, right?
Right. So I pitched that, and then I kind of went back to what drew me to the story originally, and the key buzz parts of the story, like. Basically it was, I had optioned this nonfiction treatise on music. And in this book that was translated from, I think, Italian or in Italian, where there was this one section about this, Santa Cristina, which was this famous nunnery or monastery in Bologna, Italy in the 16th century. And this woman came out of it named Lucrezia Pisano, who was the first nun. She was the first woman composer ever published, which is like an amazing thing. And then there was this little section on, and then the nuns held siege against the Vatican army. And those two things, the man who wrote the book also translated these diaries from this monk, who was actually the father confessor of the same time period. So we created kind of a Romeo and Juliet love story inside to create more of a conflict with this woman and her passion.
Right. Wow. Well, it is a good story. It's a dynamite story. I have to agree with you. And we love it when it's based on a true story. I think that is always intriguing and good for investors.
Yeah. And so we did the first part of the pitch, and then... And it's interesting because also by saying don't worry about the time, it allowed me to use some of what I know about acting and what I naturally facilitate for myself in terms of, one, when you go into a new situation, actors deal with it all the time at the audition process, is you open that door and you step into that room and sit in that chair or in that camera. And it's a completely new environment. And as human beings, as we cannot help but we walk into a room and we are assessing that room immediately. We are looking at that chair, checking things out quickly, even if it's subconsciously. And so you have to find a way to handle yourself and focus yourself So I was able to do that, especially in the second time I got to pitch again. So I was one of five groups that got to pitch to the whole panel. And then when the whole panel went in and I pitched them, part of what I used again there is I know the stuff that I'm passionate about, like the Vatican Army, and she was so amazing, and this is why, and I know how to ignite my own passion.
Yeah.
And I know if I ignite it, it will ignite the room. And when someone asks a question about, why, I mean, disembodied voices, it sounds like, it sounds like a horror film, or, you know, and I said, yeah, it, you know, it does what I have to work. And everything's always positive, too. I mean, you never would say any, don't say anything negative. Everything is positive. So it's not like, oh, well, yeah, I don't like that title either. But it's, you say, yeah, well, you're right. But the thing about it is, in this time period, that when they did their services, there was a room, this vaulted room, and the nuns sang in this vaulted room, and they weren't allowed to have contact with the outside world. So their voices would be in this room next door, and they would carry into these vaulted ceilings and filter out in this gigantic cathedral through these grates, and it would kind of filter down into the congregants. And this woman's music was so amazing that it had to be some kind of cathartic spiritual feeling just listening to these women sing.
How wonderful. Well, the one thing you're doing is I can see the film as you talk, and this is one of the most important things about the pitch, to take people into the film with a visual description. So well done.
Yeah. But like, again, this is what I'm saying is, like, I'm passionate about that. I love the idea of that. And if I talk like I'm talking now to a group of people and I say, hey, whatever it is, you know, I'm selling shoes or, you know, bubble gum, and I'm passionate about this bubble gum, I really am, they'll get it. They'll know my passion, and then they'll go, okay, he's passionate, you know, and then who's his team, and, you know, what are the details? I also created a pitch kind of presentation, which basically was about, let me see, okay, I'll do this somewhere. It's about like 15 pages, which basically has, a table of contents where I have sales projections, logline information, character breakdown, suggested cast, key production team, director's vision, director's bio, budget and top sheet, international performance, pre-sales projections, a high, medium, low analysis, and comparison of films. The nitty-gritty of my business plan that I created, since Disembodied Voices was one of those films that I had to get the numbers on anyway, I could just take those sections and create this package with those sections. So I also brought that into the room with me, too.
Did they look at it, Victor?
Yeah, they kind of all kind of thumbed through it, but Ronnie Yeskel, who is a wonderful casting director who has a great reputation about actors love her because they really respect her eye for a good story.
Yeah.
She was loving the story and the pitch and the idea, and I'm at the point right now. She has the script. I think she started reading it, and I'm waiting for her to finish reading it so I can have a conversation with her about
it. Well, do you think she will have suggestions or input for you for possible changes on the script?
Possible changes, that's possible. I mean, the key thing that, coming from a casting background and her, is to have a conversation with her of what she thinks about the project and if she has any ideas of who would be interested.
Right.
So you wait and see. I mean, I've had other projects where one of the projects of mine that's in that slate, my slate of four, there was a couple of casting directors who were willing to, for not a lot of money, because they loved the scripts, they basically said they would, for a nominal fee, do 5 months' work on it to attach talent to it. And, I mean, that's really, I mean, that's the key to getting almost anything done. I mean, you can make a film out of love and passion and it's a great story, but if no one sees it, if you don't have elements that are in it that are going to make it somehow commercially marketable, and you don't have some kind of distribution or some kind of sales or some kind of something on the back end or an idea of where it's actually going to go when you finish it, it's not a great business model to do. Because there's so many films that people make out of love and passion that are good movies that no one ever sees.
That's true. That's very true. What is your budget for this film?
The budget for Disembodied Voices, let me check it, is, yeah, it's 3.7. And everybody goes, for a period piece, you can really, and it's mostly one location. Part of my plan with this film also was, and it's still a plan that is a good business model, I think, for my business plan, is this film is 16th century Italian. I have another script that's in my slate of four films that's also 16th century Italian based on Isabella de' Medici. She had an amazing story. She's the one that translated she created the library, the Renaissance. She translated all those books. Her father was Cosimo the First, who's the original, like, sopranos of the 16th century. My plan originally, and still might be, to shoot both these films back to back in 46 days using the same sets, same crew, and with the financial things of the state incentives or the 181. The other film, basically, Isabella, could be made for $1.4 million. So basically, I'm talking about $5 million to make two movies.
Oh, that's brilliant.
The old Roger Corman school of filmmaking, you know, where actually I got my SAG card. The first movie I ever did was a Roger Corman film in the 80s.
He's a great guy.
Well, Victor, I've been wanting to ask you about being a producer from that end of things. What does that mean to you, being a producer?
That's so interesting. I had a couple meetings recently with other producers, and I have two analogies. One is that it feels like I'm playing gin rummy, because you're constantly picking up and discarding, but you're constantly evaluating your hand and redoing it. And I think right now with my business plan and a couple of projects, I think I have like four and three of a kind. And I don't know whether I'm going to pick up the seven of spades or go, you know, just sevens. But it feels like gin rummy. This other producer I had this meeting with, really nice guy. His partner said producing is kind of like, especially when you do financing, it's kind of like jumping on a trampoline together. And that if somebody starts not jumping in the same time, you're not going to jump up. You're not going to all. It takes everybody doing it at the same moment and jumping up. And, you know, all staying on the trampoline. And it was really interesting. I mean, I think it's a piece of that. And it's a piece of being a producer is, you know, wanting to tell stories that are commercially viable and that make a difference for me. They need to make a difference in somebody's life. And I'm coming from all the other stuff I do, the writing, directing, producing, acting, not the priest, but all the other stuff I do, creating the company and becoming a producer has allowed me actually to option other people's work, or other, you know, great DP or great other things that I don't, that I recognize as that person's really good. I want to work with them. I'm going to work with them. I'm going to call that person, cold call that person up and have a cup of coffee with them. Did I kind of answer that question?
Yes, you did, Victor.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. This has been really educational for both of us. Now, we've only got 2 minutes left, so please tell our listeners how they can reach you.
You can go to my website for the company, which is kaleidoscope.com, which is www.glydascope.com. You can go to Victor Warren, VictorWarren.com, and you can contact me there. And I'm always interested in a good story and working with like-minded individuals.
Great. Thanks so much, Victor. We really appreciate it.
Sure.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.